570 KVI.
Really? The Republican Party is going to fall on its sword to defend a bunch of millionaires, half of whom voted Democratic and half of whom live in Hollywood?
Welcome back, everybody. John Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Thank you ever so much for waking up on the right side, letting me be part of your listening day. You're part of your morning commute as well. That voice you just heard, of course, belongs to my friend Bill Kristol, editor of the Weekly Standard, one of the most influential news commentators in the country, talking about the so-called fiscal cliff, which could come down to a showdown over whether or not to raise tax rates. Now, our own Senator Patty Murray was very clear about what Democrats should do if Republicans don't consent to higher taxes.
And if not, go off the cliff?
Well, clearly we have the ability between now and the end of the year to not go off the cliff. But we can't accept an unfair deal that piles all of this on the middle class and tells them they have to support it.
Okay, so what Patty Murray says we need to do is raise taxes on the wealthy, or there's no deal. And if there's no deal, then we reach the fiscal cliff where you have $7 trillion worth of indiscriminate across-the-board spending cuts, and everyone's taxes go up, and huge increases in taxes on dividends and the like. Let's get to Bill Kristol, standing by here. Bill, thanks for taking the time to be here.
Hey, John. Good to be with you.
Okay, now, someone had to start this discussion, and you're the guy who stood up and said, all right, let's talk this out. I assume you're probably getting a little more flack than accolades right now.
A little of both, you know, but I've become fairly thick-skinned. Look, there are two separate issues, just to be clear about this. There's an issue of what kind of tax code we want, and there I'm very much on the conservative side, obviously, and don't agree with Patty Murray, and I'm happy to have that fight in 2013 as we go about tax reform with Republicans holding the House and having a real say, and then, of course, go to the country on it in 2014 and 2016. I wish Mitt Romney had gone to the country with a clearer tax reform agenda, actually, and I think it might have helped Republicans, and certainly a tax reform agenda that helps business and growth, but also helps the middle class and helps family. So that's one issue. I don't think, you know, I imagine many conservatives would agree on elements of that. I might be a little more inclined to be pro-family and pro-middle class than some conservatives who are, you know, very, very, very concerned about the sort of top rates and about incentives, but that's a balancing act that I guess a good, important debate to have in policy terms. The second issue is just a practical and tactical issue, which is all the Bush tax rates expire on December 31st, taxes will go up for everyone. Can Republicans, with control of the House only, having lost, with President Obama having won re-election, with Democrats having increased their Senate numbers and their House numbers, can Republicans hang on to the Bush tax rates, or are they going to have to give in on the higher bracket rates? Obama gave in 2010, as you know, John, and they extended all the Bush tax rates for 2 years, which was great. Republicans had won a big election victory in 2010. I just think it's a practical matter. It's very, very hard for John Boehner to insist on the Bush tax rates as the short term way we go, and if we're going to give in, frankly, if Republicans are going to give in, it's better to give in now and get it off the table than have 6 weeks of arguing about it and Republicans mobilizing and everyone screaming and yelling and then give in.
Well, a couple of things. Again, tactically, I think what the Democrats are willing to do, at least they say they're willing to do this, is yeah, go ahead. We'll sail off the cliff, and then when the American people are furious about some of these spending cuts and these tax increases, the White House and the Senate will fashion a bill that says, okay, we'll restore some of the spending, we'll restore most of these tax cuts, but there just won't be a bill that would include a tax cut or the current tax rates for the wealthy.
Right, right. And can Republicans really defeat that in January with everyone's taxes going up? Isn't it better to accept the short-term tax increase on the wealthy now? That's really the tactical, practical question.
Okay, now, moving from the political to the policy,
Yeah. Here's
a couple reasons for not doing it. Number one, in Great Britain, they raised their top rate from 40 to 50%. They got less revenue for the reasons that you well know. That, you know, people shelter the money, the money's not plowed back into the economy, et cetera. So it's not good for the economy to raise taxes. It's
right. But let me just address that one. I mean, that's a look. I don't think it's good for the economy. If I were devising tax rates, I'd have a lower tax rate than 35 even. But Obama ran on it. He won the election. It's not a British type situation where a conservative government did that, I think.
Right.
And, you know, I wouldn't do it. Believe me, if Mitt Romney won the election, I would not be telling him, you know, accept a tax hike on the wealthy. But I think let's test whether President Obama's policies are wise or not. But I may not be good for the economy. It probably will be marginally a little bit bad for the economy. I think 35 to 39 isn't going to be a game changer for people's investment decisions. But nonetheless, it's probably not good. But he won the election.
The real problem in Washington, D.C. is spending.
Absolutely.
And study after study has shown that when another pile of tax revenue lands on the table, the first thing that it does is completely evaporate the incentive to cut spending. Why cut spending when there's tax revenue on the table?
Well, I don't think there will be much tax revenue for the reason you said earlier, that this doesn't actually produce much revenue. A. B, we've just had an experiment. We've kept the Bush taxes for 4 years. Didn't really stop, unfortunately, President Obama and the Democrats from spending an unbelievable amount of money. And I again, in principle, I'm in favor of lower taxes, and I'm in favor of much, and I'm really strongly in favor of reducing spending and reforming entitlements, and I think that's got to be the Republican agenda going forward. But in the real world, I mean, I don't know if it were the case of keeping the taxes at 35 rather than 39%, we're going to reduce spending next year. I'd certainly be happy about that and would fight for it. I just don't think there's any evidence in the short term that it's affecting spending one way or the other.
What about the issue that as soon as taxes are raised on the wealthy, it opens up the floodgates to what they really want to do, which is raise taxes on everybody else who's currently paying them?
I you know what? I think they do want to do that. I think you're right about that. And again, that's why certainly if I were governing, I wouldn't do it. But you know what? If they want to let's see if that's true. And certainly if they come back in a year and say, gee, we thought we could just do it with the wealthy, but now we got to raise taxes on everyone, I would absolutely love to have that fight. And that's a better fight for Republicans to have politically, and it's an important substantive fight. It frames the tax increase versus spending reduction issue very clearly in a way that I don't think this little fight now about preserving the, you know, the Bush taxes only for the wealthy really does. But if that's where the Democrats go, I think it'd be bad for the country, but politically I would welcome that fight.
Okay, now here is what your friend Charles Krauthammer had to say about this.
I think Republicans have to hold a line on something, and that is on rates. Liberals are congenitally unable to understand the difference between raising rates and raising revenues. And Republicans have to stand on that, because if they give in on rates, they're going to get rolled. It'll be a rate here for just a millionaire here. Remember how the alternative minimum tax started in the late 60s? It was aimed at, what, 600 millionaires? And now it gets tens of millions of people in its net.
Well, look, let's have that debate. I mean, I don't think there's much intellectual clarity in the current Republican position, which is, on the one hand, we want big tax reform, so we don't even really like the current tax code, but we are going to absolutely make the absolute priority of the Republican Party after this election, holding the line on the Bush tax code. I'd much prefer to sort of give in on this in the very short term and come out with a very big tax reform agenda. Now, look, if we could win on this in the short term and then come out with a very big tax reform agenda, which I think is what Charles would want, I'm fine with that, too. You can talk all you want, I mean, about holding the line, not giving in. It's a practical matter. Something's going to happen on January 1st. And unless we think John Boehner can stare down Barack Obama and Harry Reid in light of the recent election results, I think Boehner is going to give in. And if he doesn't give in, I think 20 House Republicans will jump ship. So all the breastfeeding in the world is fine. This is not a choice. This isn't like a ledger, blank slate, where you know, what kind of tax code do you want? Believe me, I'd be with Charles on that, I think 95%, and you and I would be together 95%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a different story. There's a practical political question here, and I just am not convinced that this is the fight we want to have, having just lost an election, for the next 6 weeks.
Okay, last question on this, and then I've got to get your take on everything going on with General Petraeus here real quickly, and that is, clearly what Republicans would like to have happen is that, and this was their plan, was for the next year, just keep the existing rates in place and negotiate sweeping tax reform circa 1986, where we lower rates and get rid of exemptions.
Right.
Would giving in on tax increases on the wealthy deflate any chance of that happening, Bill?
I don't think so. I think that's going to happen either way, or there'll be an effort at that either way. It certainly doesn't stop Republicans from proposing a reform. In fact, it makes it a little more urgent if you think that raising the rates on the wealthy will be a little bit bad for the economy. Look, I'm a little less, incidentally, this is another important intellectual debate. In principle, of course, everyone's in favor of lower rate, you know, a wider base and lower rates. I'm not so sure, having said that, we published the article by Marty Feldstein with the Senate saying, why don't we have a cap on deductions of 35
right.
or 50,000 or something. And I think that's a very important idea. On the other hand, I'd also want to look a little more closely at what the implications of that are for middle-class housing values and also for charitable contributions. So I don't have an a priori view that you necessarily 35% rates on the cut on and the deduction cap is better than 39% rates and no deduction cap. I think that's a, you know, it's a sort of tax policy debate, which we should have among conservatives, among Republicans, and with the country. But either way, so anyway, I'm very much for a big tax reform. John, you were around in the 80s, I mean, I was a little older than you, I was around more. The years of greatest growth under Reagan, the best years really of the Reagan Revolution, I would say, were 83 to 86 before the 86 tax reform. I know we're all in principle in favor of that 86 tax reform. Reagan certainly was. But honestly, when they cut marginal rates and we had a 50% top rate and we cut capital gains, we had huge economic growth between 83 and 86. So
right.
I don't necessarily know that the post-86 tax code is better than the 83 to 86.
But keep in mind, what really fueled that economic boom, I think, Bill, was the fact that the rates were coming down and they were permanent cuts.